We bringing in Frankie Flowers here? Or
yeah,
what?
We got the boys in here. The Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance and Darren Dreger and Bob McKenzie. Who's Frankie Flowers?
Me.
Dregs?
Yeah, because I tweeted a picture earlier. I was bored, right? So I'm on a patio outside the Weston River North. And I look down, and there's a nice little flower garden on the patio, and there's a butterfly and a flower. So I'm like, well, that's a nice picture. So I take the picture, and I tweet it, and O-Dog comes right over the top on a quote tweet and says, Muted.
Hey, I don't want to see a picture of a butterfly
and
a flower.
If we do, we're going to follow National Geographic.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good karma. Well, an hour later, we're talking about Jordan Eberle getting traded
to
the New York Islanders.
I guess we finally got something going here, didn't we? Like, what do you guys make of that deal right off the hop? Eberle for Ryan Strome.
Well, look, I mean, it's cost savings, number one. Not suggesting that Ryan Strome isn't going to be a good player for the Oilers, but, you know, with contract extensions looming to Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and we're talking about mega deals here. We're not talking, you know, minute dollars. We're talking mega millions. So, you know, they've got time to work in that, but, you know, the time is right now. There was four or five teams that were interested, and they feel like Ryan Strome needs to hit the reset button. Eberle needs to hit the reset button, and it's a good fit for both clubs.
Just to backtrack a little bit, we were talking earlier about the dollar values. Like, not everybody's Sidney Crosby that's going to say, give me 8.7, it's a team discount. Like, these two guys could just say, you're paying up, and if they do, there's really no choice.
No question about that, and that's what we've got to wait and see what those numbers are going to be. Now, on the financial pressures, though, they weren't in a position where they had to trade Jordan Eberle right now, because McDavid's money's not going to kick in for another year. Dreisaitl's money's going to kick in immediately, but nevertheless, they decided, I think after the playoff he had, I think they just decided, you know what, we know down the road we can't, long-term we can't keep Jordan Eberle. We weren't really happy with him in the playoffs, even though he's been a pretty good player for them and put up some pretty decent numbers for quite some time. But I think they just decided, you know what, this is where if we get the right deal, we're going to move on.
Brian was saying earlier, he thinks that some Edmonton Oilers fans would be thinking, Eberle for Strome, really? After last year, it was Taylor Hall for Larson, which I think people would probably be happy with. But I told him, that's kind of the going rate when you're trying to move a player to move the salary, and it's what people are going to give you, and that's what they got.
Yeah, there's no question that you get a premium for getting cap space or for getting financial relief. You've got to factor it in. And now, you know, some folks that don't think Chris Russell's a great defenseman are not going to be happy, because he's probably going to get a new deal in the very near future and eat up most of what they save on Eberle is probably going to Chris Russell.
Yeah, 4 years, $4 million, roughly.
And I don't think that's a fair deal. Egregious, though, no. But I mean, the analytics guys like to kick this guy in the shins every chance they get.
And the Oilers love him.
But the Flames loved him, too. Yeah. Every team this guy's been on, when I talk to the people that have actually played with him and been on the team and within the organization, like Calgary wanted to bring him back. Like they couldn't work it out. It ended up, but you look at, it's the value that the organization values with Chris Russell, not the analytics guys. And I'm sure they have their own analytics that help him be better players or help the players that he plays with.
It's ridiculous, though, the amount of talk.
I've
used this analogy before. It's like going to watch The Lord of the Rings and debating what one orc did during the movie. The guy's a fifth defenseman, and we talk about him all the time. Like, who really cares that much?
Change gears for a second. We'll go back to what O was talking about a little bit before. The things I'm fascinated to see, and we'll get a handle on it, if not in days, then weeks probably, is both what's Connor McDavid going to get, and obviously what's Draisaitl going to get, what's Carey Price going to get. So Carey Price and Connor McDavid are in different situations, but they're actually very similar in that they're both a year away from their deals expiring. McDavid's not an unrestricted free agent like Carey Price is. What's that number going to be for Price in Montreal, and how does it help them or hurt them in terms of everything else they're trying to do? Our Pierre LeBrun just tweeted that Radulov's looking for, what were the numbers, Greg?
Six years at 42 million over 6 years,
and Montreal's not prepared to do that. You know, and the price thing fits into that. So is Price coming in and saying, okay, well, Lundqvist is 8.5, so I'll take 9? Or is Price coming in saying, you know what, I'm taking 11. Yeah. I'm taking 12. And the same thing with McDavid.
Yeah.
And to a to a somewhat lesser degree, Draisaitl. Is it going to be one of these, yeah, well, you know, Sid took 8-7 and, you know, the Kane and Taves are a 10-5? But no. Maybe he's going to come in and say, no, it's, you know what, it's 11, it's 12, game, it's yeah. 13, it's 14, it's whatever. I just got the Pearson and I just got the Hart, and there's many more where those came from.
I mean, there are whispers that it's going to be $14 million. For Connor McDavid, and I mean, if that's true, I mean, good on him. Arguably, at that point, he's looked at as the best in the game. But guess who's paying attention to what's happening with the negotiation in Edmonton with Connor McDavid?
Austin Matthews,
Toronto Maple Leafs, because you know, again, when Matthews comes off his entry level contract, maybe he's in that territory in the vicinity of Connor McDavid.
What we should point out too, though, is we went through this same exercise with Kane and Taves.
Right.
And I remember very specifically reporting, and everybody freaked out, that their initial ask at that time, and keep in mind that was many years ago, their initial ask was $12 million. And everybody went crazy. Can never do $12 million. That maybe that's the first ask. It's all part of a negotiation. Right. But they ended up at 10-5, which is considerably more than the 8-7 that Crosby and whatever Malkin's getting in terms of the way that the Penguins structured it. But Carey Price knows, and Connor McDavid knows, that for every dollar they take over 9 or 9-5 or 10 or 10-5, it becomes very, very difficult for their team in a salary cap world, especially in a flat cap or modest gains like we've been getting, to surround yourself with the kind of players you need to win.
Well, we got into this conversation earlier, the contracts, and we were talking about McDavid and how McDavid, he could ask for the world. I think Matthews will ask for the same amount. That doesn't mean he will get it, but to your point, Crosby took 8.7, Taves got 10.5. And in Chicago, the Sidney Crosby is Taves. And he said, I want to get paid like I'm your number one guy. I think Matthews will ask for the same number. I don't know if he'll get the same number. But it also stumbled into another conversation that we had. Maybe we're focusing on, in Toronto, the wrong comparisons, where we're looking at Matthews versus McDavid. What I'm curious about is, what if Marner looks at Matthews and says, I'm as good of a player as he is. Look at the points I put up. Look at the numbers I think I'm going to project to be. Patrick Kane got the same as Taves. I want the same as Matthews. What ends up happening in Toronto if Marner and Nylander are looking at this too and saying, I'm not taking $4 million less a year than Matthews?
I don't say this often, but that is very well thought out.
It is.
Thank you. Bobby, Dregs.
No, it's true.
It's 100% true, but that's a good problem to have, isn't it?
Absolutely. They're talents.
And then that's sometimes where, and especially if you're Lou, you might be able to take one guy and give him the 7 or 8 year treatment or a 5 year deal if you go that route, the way Stamkos did and some other players. But you might have to take a harder line with other guys and do bridges and that's where you get into the
danger. Just bump a few off to Robidoux Island and you'll be okay.
The danger of a bridge too is, you know, P.K. Subban got a bridge and
he got paid.
And then was a Norris Trophy winner and with Arbrights and the owner ended up 9-5. So that'll be fascinating, but I'll be really curious to see how the whole Edmonton situation shakes out. Like, if I'm Connor McDavid, I'm not doing my deal until I see what Draisaitl gets. Because
vice versa,
I suppose. Yeah, right. But if I'm McDavid, I you're the Hart Trophy winner. You're the big guy. So if someone's asking me to take a hometown discount, I want to make sure that my hometown discount isn't going to somebody else's salary who's not taken a hometown discount. So in other words, if Draisaitl hits it out of the park and McDavid and they end up really close to each other, maybe if you're McDavid, you're saying, man, you know, I'm not going to do
that. Well, and I think that's why the preference from Edmonton's perspective is to get them both done at the same time. But we're forgetting another piece of this puzzle, and that's Cam Talbot. You know, if he continues to develop and play as well as he played this year, you know, you can talk about him as being what? Top three, top five goalie on the planet.
Top five for sure.
Well, what does that guy get paid?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of money.
It's endless.
These hockey players are just greedy. There's just no other way around it.
Darren Dreger, Bob.
And the salary cap, it's a killer, man.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you know, these guys are. And the funny thing is, like, what Connor McDavid is worth to the Edmonton Oilers, it's not even close to what he's going to get.
Yeah.
$14 million is a bargain in terms of what he means
for sure
to driving the economies of the Edmonton Oilers. But a salary cap system forces everybody to
cut
an appendage or two off to help your brother.
Right. Like Tom Brady should be making $100 million a year. LeBron should be making $200 million. It just doesn't work that way. Bob McKenzie, Darren Dreger joining us. We're live in Chicago ahead of the NHL draft tomorrow night. Leaf fans are curious to see where their team goes in terms of the trade market. Some rumors out there, Colin Miller out of Boston, who's now in Vegas, could be a part of their radar. Maybe with the Trevor Van Riemsdyk trade to Carolina. Carolina looking to potentially move a young defenseman. What are you guys hearing in terms of the Leafs and what they're circling right now?
Well, a couple of things, and maybe this will be perceived as shooting both of those down. But Pierre LeBrun reported today that Carolina seems to be in the mode where they're saying, you know what? We're happy with our 7D, and we may not trade anybody, even though for a while everybody's assumed that we're going to. And that we'll use, they've got lots and lots and lots of draft picks over the next number of years here, and that they are more predisposed to use draft picks to get help up front than they are their defensemen. So that's number one. Number two, the Colin Miller deal. I mean, Colin Miller played in Sault Ste. Marie, Kyle Dubas, Sheldon Keefe, well aware of this player and the type of player that he is. He's got good numbers. He plays a skating puck possession game. So people say, well, that's perfect. You put those two things together. He was available in the draft. Vegas is going to flip him. Perfect fit for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maybe is. And maybe the deal gets done. But I can tell you this. My best information is that over the last number of weeks, this has not been something that's been on the radar of the Toronto Maple Leafs. So if it gets done, it's going to be, I think, a rather new development. And it also suggests to me that it may not get done at all. It may not even be a consideration. And that just because a guy played for Dubas and Keith and Junior and he's got some nice numbers, that it doesn't necessarily translate to he's going to be a Leaf. It looks good when we media people all get around, and I'm as guilty of it as the next guy. But my best understanding is that this is not something the Leafs have been focused on or talked about prior to now.
It feels like the wheel has to turn a little bit in terms of the trades that could happen, you know, throughout the course of today, obviously tomorrow on the weekend here in Chicago at the draft. You know, the New York Islanders made that splash with Jordan Eberle earlier today. You know, there's still tons of interest in Travis Hamonic. If that piece gets moved, maybe that frees something up. You know, what's Colorado doing with Matt Duchene? If they get a defenseman back for Duchene the next couple of days, do they move Tyson Barry? What's Minnesota doing with all of their defense? So maybe one or two of those guys goes, and it changes the outlook.
What is it about the draft floor that kind of stirs things up? It's like these guys are so private, they want to break their own information, and in front of the hockey world, for some reason, they just like to get together and have little chats here and there, and you guys know it's
that's why it's one of the favorite days of the year, because it's the hockey version of a political convention. And, you know, in those political conventions, when they're trying to elect a new leader and for a party or whatever, and then, you know, one guy's dropping out of the race and he's going to throw a support. So now there's negotiations going on the floor, and you can see this happening, and all the delegates are looking, and it's just like the fans and the media. So it's fun, and you're absolutely right. Everything's done behind closed doors all year, and then you get out here, and it's like, oh, okay, let's see who's talking to who.
Perfect opportunity, to do the Gary Bettman impersonation.
We have a trade to announce.
You're going to want to hear this.
He's going to throw one of those out.
We have a 0% bet,
he's not coming over here.
Rolling through our show.
Really?
He's dusted us off every year. Winnipeg,
he declines every year.
He goes through every other TSN radio station. He gets to us and goes, No dice.
See, I think you should get Bobby back to put his weight behind it.
All right.
It's all in the request.
Yeah, Bobby, throw it on Twitter.
Sorry, I don't broker deals. Unless I get a cut of the action.
Yeah, we can work something out, believe me. All right, boys.
I'm happy just to be here. I didn't get much sleep last night. I was a little cranky. I was going to be like O today and just not say anything.
just going to
do the old mic drop like...
Oh, you missed a doozy of one yesterday during Jerry's percentages.
What do you call it when O zones out?
Baby monkey. Yeah. Just sitting there.
I was literally Mars, and he asked me a question. I looked at him, and I was like, what?
And Hayes didn't let him off the hook. He said,
hang on, do you have it back there, Steph, to play it? Bobby doesn't have a headset on.
Yeah,
he got him the answer to the question he already answered before in the Jerry's percentage.
Yeah. This guy was on a completely different wavelength than everyone else.
It was
on
the
Earth.
Great. It ended so the segment.
Yeah,
so you're saying my scouting report was
that's right.
He went AWOL for a full segment.
Focus. I can't focus for more than 10 minutes at a time.
He was horse bleep out of left field.
Yeah. It was
horse bleep.
That's 2 days early.
Yeah,
saves
that's
that
right.
Fridays.
He is, however, now, though, a physical specimen.
That's right, man. Look at this
guy. There you go.
Feeling good, looking better.